well go and work somewhere else. And given that, I don't find it surprising that the public sector workers are prepared to walk out and go on strike.
But it isn't, but it isn't that the public sector day of action, as they call it, isn't about inequalities in pay, or at least not apparently. It's about the level of remuneration that they get in their pension and the increase that they have to pay of their salary in order to finance that.
But it all comes down to disparity in pay, and they're being asked, people on minimum wage in very, very many cases are being asked to pay more, and perhaps they would be prepared to shoulder that if we were all in it together. But when they see board directors saying, we'll have another 50% on our salaries and take us up to the best part of $3 million a year, I'm not surprised that they're not prepared to think, I'll pay my part in this and take the increase in pension payments or whatever it is that
effectively reduces
my salary.
There's not much sign that the private sector high paid are willingly going to reduce their proportion of the income they take from companies. So do you see just going downhill all the way?
Well, I think at some point, and this may have to be led by the government, at some point people are going to have to say, just because I can put my nose in the trough and get even more doesn't mean I should.
Davis, point made, okay. Very clearly. Thank you for that. Thank you for all your calls and all your emails. We more or less, as best we can, reflect the balance of calls all the way through the programme. Next week, we're going to be in Luton, and on our panel, amongst others, Bonnie Greer and the Cabinet Minister, Jeremy Hunt. I hope you can join us there. But now, for your calls, your emails and your tweets, many thanks and have a good afternoon.
Any Answers was presented by Jonathan Dimbleby and was produced by Lisa Jenkinson.
Books on the BBC.
Please, no more lies. I can't take any more. Every day I'm stuffed so full with them I feel sick.
Stefan Zweig's novel about the damaging effects of pity.
How well you're looking today and how splendidly you're walking. You really are much, much better. It's suffocating.
BBC Radio 4's new classic serial.
And do you think I'm so stupid that I can't understand that you're bound to get bored here playing the Good Samaritan?
Beware of Pity by Stefan Zweig, starting tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Now our Saturday play. It's another case for the notoriously lazy but luckily fictitious Scotland Yard detective, Inspector Dover. Kenneth Cranham stars as Dover and Stuart Macquarie as his long-suffering sidekick, Sergeant McGregor, in a comedy thriller that is not for the faint-hearted.
Dover and the Unkindest Cut of All by Joyce Porter. Dramatised for radio by Paul Mendelssohn.
November 21st, 1976. From Sergeant Charles McGregor, New Scotland Yard. Application for transfer number 321. Over the years, I have acted as Chief Inspector Wilfred Dover's right-hand man, slave, whipping boy, and general dog's body. But I'm afraid I draw the line at sacrificial lamb. It all started when Mrs. Dover was driving the Chief Inspector off to Wales on what was meant to be their annual seaside holiday.
Oh, Wilfred, look, look, I can see the sea. Oh, Wilfred, you're missing all this wonderful scenery. How I do like to be beside the seaside. How I do like to be...
Oh, hey. Oh, what is it, woman? We can't have passed a ruddy dress shop. We're on the coast road.
Wilfred, I just saw... I just saw a man throw himself off that cliff into the sea.
Well, nothing to do with us. We're on holiday. Man deserves a holiday after all the stresses and strains of grade A detected.
Well, I'm going to have a look.
This is all I ruddy need.
Wilfred! Get out of that car this instant! That must be his bike! Parked right at the edge!
Some holiday this is gonna be. Could be anybody's bike, woman!
Oh, and look there! There! What's that bobbing in the water?
Bit of seaweed? The Mary Celeste? Who cares?
No, it isn't! Wilfred, you had one just like it! It's a policeman's helmet.
Policeman's helmet, you say?
I don't. The woman does. Too much sea air, I say.
We've only just arrived, Wilfred. And not even where we were going. Where are we, actually, Sergeant?
Back of Ruddy Beyond.
Oh, nearly right, sir. Fishton on Sea. Mm. And that rock, madam, where you say you saw someone throw themselves.
I did see someone.
Yeah, well, that'll be Cully Point. And we'll never recover the body from there. Go straight out to sea. But I truly doubt it's one of our lads. They're not the suicidal type.
Right, that's it then. Duty done.
Come on. You, hang on a minute, though. I've been not so fast. Oh, hello. What's all this? Here comes trouble. Never rain when it pours. All right, what's up, Constable?
Well, Sarge. Look, Chauncey started it. He hit me with a lump of driftwood.
I was provoked. He provoked me.
Gentlemen, please. It's Mr. Griffiths, isn't it? And Mr. Morgan.
Got reports, Sarge, that these two gentlemen were fighting like wildcats in the sailing club changing rooms. Undressed they were.
I made an innocent remark. I said, Chauncey Griffiths, with a bust on you like that, you'll be needing to wear a bra before long. Then he hit me, so I hit him back.
Can I go now?
No. Well, I think we ought to get you two gentlemen seen by a doctor, innit now?
No. No, doctor. You get away from me. No, doctor. No, doctor.
What's got into him, I wonder? Well, with floating coppers and screaming local dignitaries, turning into quite a puzzling day, isn't it?
My husband could solve it for you. He's a detective chief inspector at New Scotland Yard. Oh! Wilfred, that hurt.
I was just settling into 2 weeks of blissful, Dover-free existence when I received the fateful call. Oh, what a beautiful day. Detective Sergeant McGregor.
Having fun?
Oh, hello, Chief Inspector. yes, thank you. Are you?
If I was, why would I be phoning you? Do you know Fishton-on-Sea?
No.
Well, you're going to. I got you booked on the 12:30 train.
What? I thought you were on holiday. I'm sure Mrs. Dover wouldn't like me.
I've sent her home. Ratty woman's done enough damage. Revealed who I was, and of course the local lads want me to get them out of the ordure once again.
Why? What's happened?
A young cop has done a lemming impression, and just my flaming luck, he turns out to be the local chief constable's favourite nephew. No corpse, but they've identified a bike. We're meeting Uncle at 6 this evening, but don't expect he'll be coughing up for supper.
No. I've a pretty good idea who's going to be doing that. Oh, why me, Lord? Why don't I ever get a holiday from Dover?
Thought it best to meet you here, gentlemen. The less our local forces involved, the better.
Why on earth that, sir? I'd have thought your men knew your nephew, Constable Bowen, better than anyone.
Exactly. Let them do it. I'm meant to be on my holiday. Pass me those crisps.
Well, you can forget your holiday, Dover. This is our nephew. His poor auntie, my wife, can't sleep a wink. And when she doesn't sleep, I don't sleep.
Her and me both. This hotel needs condemning. Cheese and onion. So, your nephew didn't have many friends in the force.
How the hell did you know that?
That's what I'm paid for. They reckon you got him the job, do they?
You know how petty people can be. He was the best cop around Dover. Could have gone all the way.
It was very sad, sir, but what exactly do you want us to do about it?
Prove the jealous swine at the station drove him to it, of course. Do I make myself clear?
Sure it wasn't a woman drove him to it. Usually is. Take my wife.
Chief Inspector,
Maybe we should go and see where this poor fellow lived.
Of course, well done, MacGregor. Trained him myself, you know, Chief Constable. Lead the way, laddie.
Now, before you go, Dover, I am on the cusp of retirement here, and we are looking for a good new man. Get my drift?
Oh, you'd really like it here, sir. Nice sea air.
Yes, not exactly the yard, but the pay is good and the demands aren't excessive.
Keep talking.
So, I will be watching you all the way on this one. I want you to report in every day. Understand?
Don't you worry, sir. When I'm on a case, I never sleep. We'll start first thing in the morning.
Now.
The moment I heard we might get rid of Dover, I was determined to get this case solved. But all Dover could think about was the weather.
I'm getting ruddy soaked. This is pointless. And Welsh, sir, I just can't see how one copper could drive another to suicide.
No, well, you wouldn't. Here we are, sunny climes. Maybe his landlady can throw some light on things.
If you're the police, I want my month's rent.
And I want free beer for the over 50s. Life's full of disappointments, but I'll settle for a cup of tea and a slice of Madeira.
You'll get a piece of my mind and be satisfied.
Phew.
And don't stare at my budgies. They're ladies and they don't like it.
Oh, sorry.
You lot are all the same.
Police officers?
Men. There doesn't seem to be any decency or morality left in the world, young hooligans.
Was Constable Bowen a hooligan then? Just
didn't give him a chance, Randy sod. Especially not with that little lust bucket, Sandra Pugh. No visitors, not even fiancés, go up those stairs.
So this this Sandra was engaged to Constable Bowen?
Mm-hmm. But it was me that had to phone her and call the whole thing off.
So he broke off his engagement?
Did I say that? He cancelled his holiday.
I'm losing the will to live. What holiday? And could you turn down those damn budgies?
Oh, it's okay, my girlies. Just ignore the fatty.
Yeah?
He had a week's leave all set aside to go off somewhere illicit with that hussy Sandra. But then last Sunday, he just asked me to cancel it. Then he went to bed.
I like him already.
For a week.
Like him even more now. Was he ill?
Didn't look ill. He wouldn't let me call a doctor. But I did let Nurse Smithies take a look. She's my other lodger. She said he was just sulking.
Did you tell anyone about this?
Not my business. And he went off to work all right on Monday morning. Mind you, he did top himself the next day, so maybe he wasn't completely better. Now, you'll have to push off. I've got my Ladies' League meeting this evening. I imagine you gentlemen are going to go on carousing.
I'm going to visit the local police station, sir. Are you coming?
I think I'll do a Constable Bowen.
Oh.
The sleeping bit, I mean. Not the jumping.
Oh.
Okay, I got your favourite room ready for you.
Oh. Must be lovely, Detective Sergeant, having to deal with real criminals.
There's a downside. Anyway, Sergeant Rees-Smith, can I ask you about this poor fellow Bowen?
Oh, ask away.
Well, the Chief Constable thinks he was hounded to death by his colleagues.
Ah, we may be country bumpkins, but we're not that balmy.
No. So tell me, what sort of a copper was he?
Off the record? Lousy.
Thick?
Bent.
Bent?
As a corkscrew. You name it, he was up to it. He'd catch girls shoplifting, take them into the interview room, and then drop all charges. If you ask me, that wasn't all that was dropped. And he kept some pretty dodgy company.
In Fishton?
Oh, we've got our seamy side. Even the Ladies' League, run by our beloved Chief Constable's wife, can't keep the whole town on the straight and narrow. Oh, don't you know any other tunes, Dylan?
Seamy side?
Hmm. Soon after young Bowen got here, he chummed up with a bloke called Bill Hamilton, English chap in his mid-50s. We've never been able to pin anything on our Mr. H, but we've had our suspicions he's crooked for yonks. Ah, I'll get you the file.
What on earth did this Hamilton and Constable Bowen have in common?
Skirts, to name but one. Yeah.
Ta. I'd like to talk to this Mr. Hamilton. Where can I find him?
Oh, just down the road, in the local cemetery.
He's dead, then?
More than dead, Sergeant. Murdered.
Murdered?
Well, turns out he wasn't exactly murdered, sir. Hey, weather's taking a turn for the better this morning, hasn't it?
Don't you think you should maybe have a bit of sun cream on? If you're going to sit on the beach like that.
Good idea. Here, splash it on for me. Oh. The sun always seems to get in my belly button for some reason.
Surprised it can find it. Anyway, this Bill Hamilton.
Come on then, dollop it on.
I'm just steeling myself, sir. Could you maybe move that ice cream to the other hand?
All right. This may not be the French Riviera, but I do make a very acceptable raspberry ripple. Mmm. And chocolate. Mmm. And vanilla.
Yeah, well, glad to hear it. Do you want to know what happened to Bill Hamilton?
Who's he? Will you make sure it's all rubbed in?
The man we've just been talking about, Bowen's friend.
So?
I think he might be connected to the suicide.
Spare me your thinks. Keep rubbing.
It was just a few months ago, back in January. This chap Hamilton was found dead in his front garden.
Too much lawn mowing. That's why I leave it to Mrs. Dover.
With no clothes on.
Mrs. Dover, God forbid.
Look, Mr. Hamilton. And he was horribly mutilated.
Not by a lawnmower.
No. More like a scalpel, apparently. This Mr. Hamilton was a middle-aged married man. Went out one evening to the local country club. Had a bit too much to drink, so they phoned for a taxi. It dropped him off at his home, and the next morning the milkman found the body in the front garden.
Robbed?
No. And his wife was in a room at the back of the house. Didn't hear a thing.
You can go down there with a cream. Don't be shy.
It's not shyness. Anyway, there's an elderly lady down the end of the street, Miss Jenkins. Says she saw a green van drive up around 4:30 in the morning and stop outside Hamilton's house. Apparently two men got out. Went round the back of the van, then 2 minutes later, got back in again and drove away. Must have dumped him off.
But it wasn't murder?
It would seem not. Looked like it at first, but it turned out Hamilton had a clot in the brain, and it just burst. But here's the thing. The body was stripped and mutilated after death.
Mm-hmm.
Down below.
You can stop what you're doing now.
Ooh, am I interrupting something?
Yes.
No.
Make your mind up. Which one of you's Chief Inspector Dover?
Who's asking?
Me, Sandra Pugh.
Never heard of her.
She's Constable Bowen's girlfriend.
Fiancé, actually. I heard two London coppers was in town. And the hotel said one of you was fat.
Huh.
I want this thing with my Mickey sorted.
I'm sure you do, Miss Pugh.
Because my mum says I should get something in the will, see? Being as how we was as good as man and wife. If you know what I mean.
I'm afraid so. Hang on. You were the one who's going in your holes with Bowen. Why did he call it off?
You tell me. He was as cheeky as a box of monkeys last Saturday. And then the next day he just took to his bed and nasty old Mrs. Llewellyn wouldn't let me anywhere near him.
Mrs. Llewellyn?
It's landlady. We just met her, sir.
One of the ladies' league lot. They only pretty well run Fishton. Them and the little blue badges. That's why we've got no fun fair. No bowling alley.
No decent hotels.
No fun. They do it all through their precious hubbies, of course. That chief constable's wife's the ruddy chairman.
Yes, okay. Well, what do you know of Bill Hamilton?
Randy old beggar. I don't know why Mickey was so keen on him.
Well, maybe we'll soon find out. We're off now to see his wife.
Who is?
Glad to see someone's doing some work. I want this solved, okay? Or I'm going right to the top. My mam does the chief constable's wife's hair on a Thursday. But you better shift, Chief Inspector. You're stopping the tide coming in.
Cheeky young bism. Oi, laddie, you left some of that cream on my thigh.
I think you'll find that's vanilla, sir. I'll go and call us a cab.
Whoa. What? Oi, steady on there. Where'd you find this cab driver, McGregor, at the Dodgems?
It's the local company, sir. Slow down, driver.
I'm not used to traffic. I usually do nights. But other the drivers are off sick.
Yeah, probably run them all over.
No, this must be it. No, it's number 15. We want number 25. These houses all look the same, don't they, sir? Why do they make the numbers so tiny?
You moaning again?
Me? Just here, cabbie. Well, I go and ring the bell.
Unless the woman's psychic, might be an idea.
That'll be 95p, please.
Bill the local police and keep off the roads.
What you want?
Mrs. Hamilton, we're from Scotland Yard.
Don't want to talk to you.
Put your foot in the door, Sergeant.
Oh, I don't think there's any
Gotta
need
to do
for
everything
that.
Myself. Oh, there. We can get a warrant, you know.
Well, go get one, then.
We just want to ask you a few questions, madam. Did Mr. Hamilton have any enemies?
Every husband and father in Fishton, I shouldn't wonder.
Randy Devil, was he?
I'll say. He wanted a divorce, but he wasn't getting one.
No, the feeling. Was he insured?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, what are you saying? It was natural cause, as the inquest said. Anyway, I was in bed.
Did you know the late Constable Bowen?
A bit. Cocky little bleeder. He'd come here to see Bill and go out and a booze together.
Ah, you see, sir?
Big deal. Now, why don't you let us come inside, madam?
No. Go away.
MacGregor, push up.
Oh, I've got a better idea. See this?
You wouldn't dare, madam. It's a senior police officer with a...
With a coal hammer, sir.
It doesn't matter what it... Ah!
I wonder why she keeps a coal hammer by the front door.
Well, I'll stop screaming. I wonder too...
You don't think she killed...
I don't care. Break the door down. I'll throttle the vicious...
Anything the matter, gentlemen? Oh, dear. Young man, grab his arm. I'll kick his legs out from under him.
Madam, I don't think...
Later. Sit on him with me. Sit. We don't have much time.
Okay.
I'll just lift this umbrella into his mouth. That's better. It's the only way to treat epilepsy. See this blue bow? I'm chairman of the first aid subcommittee of the Ladies' League. Janet Fisk. See? He's quieting down now.
I think he might be suffocating. Oh, well.
Oh, my Lord. He's stronger than I thought.
You blasted idiot, MacGregor. Arrest her before I throttle her.
I was only trying to help.
Help? Some maniac breaks my foot. They're trying to choke me to death.
What? Well, we'd best get you seen to pronto. Lucky for you, my surgery's just next door.
Surgery? Oh, well, needs must. MacGregor, have to carry me. Oh. You too, Lucrezia Borgia.
Well? It's not broken.
It feels ruddy broken.
Well, it isn't. I'll just put a slosh of this over it.
Oh, what's that, for pity's sake?
Horse liniment.
What? What sort of doctor are you?
One who knows animals intimately. And there's no animal like a man.
You sound like Mrs. Colehammer next door.
Oh, poor woman. Married to a tomcat. Well, our Mr. Hamilton, may he rest in peace, didn't get any encouragement here.
You surprise me.
Miss Fisk, on the night of Mr. Hamilton's death...
Sound asleep. Although I believe Jenny Jenkins down the road saw some suspicious men in a van. Excuse me. Fisk? You want to cancel it? No. I've got the blasted operating theatre already in waiting. Well... It's not my fault if you get a load of unwanted kittens. People. Now, is there anything more I can do for you, gentlemen?
Have you got any of those crunchy dog biscuits?
Sir, I think we should see Miss Jenkins down the road.
Oh, you do, do you? Well, you see her, MacGregor. I'll get myself a good walking stick, then report in to my friend, the Chief Constable. Tell him how I'm getting on. This is supposed to be an holiday. Oh,
tell me about it.
So, are we sure my nephew committed suicide at Dover?
Of course he did, you stupid... Sorry, sir, force of habit. I'm afraid so. Lord, this stake is tough.
So it was his fellow policeman.
Now, if they gave him any trouble, he'd just go whinging to you.
Treading a fine line here, Dover. Still, I suspect you're right.
Well, my sergeant thinks it's all linked in with this Hamilton business. Your nephew and he were as thick as thieves.
Well, Bill Hamilton? The dodgy fella back in January with the mutilated what's-its.
Can we not talk about this while I'm eating, sir?
Well, that would limit my opportunities considerably, so... Could be a gang revenge of some sort.
Well, gangs don't wait till the victims die a natural death, then mutilate their bodies on their own front lawns.
And then force constables to top themselves. No.
My guess is the two cases are totally unconnected.
So where's your sergeant now?
On a wild goose chase, talking to some Jenny woman about what she saw in Hamilton's garden that night.
Jenny Jenkins. She's in the Ladies' League with my lady wife.
Well, kicks him out of her hair, right?
I want this solved, Dover. Your future depends on it, here or anywhere. Get my drift.
I'm doing my best.
Chief Inspector... Oh, sorry, Chief Constable.
I hope you've got something, Sergeant.
I really think so, sir. Miss Jenkins said Constable Bowen was at her place making inquiries about Mr. Hamilton's death just a week ago.
A week ago?
Just before he took to his bed. In fear, I reckon.
No connection, Dover? Nah.
Now, Hamilton spent his last night alive at the Fishton Country Club. I reckon he was meeting his killers there. What do you think, sir?
This country club served drink tonight.
Well, Hamilton was in his cups, apparently.
Lead on Macduff. Mac very duff, actually. Want to come along, Chief Constable?
Well, I can't be seen in there, Chief Inspector.
Look bad with the police authority.
Saw the police authority. Look bad with the wife.
Now that I'd made the crucial Bowen-Hamilton link, I knew I was getting close to something really big. And I didn't mean just a police suicide. But of course, all Chief Inspector Dover could think about was where his next drink was coming from.
Country club? This is the back of the ruddy bus station. No country for miles. Not that I like country.
I think it's just up those stairs, sir.
Up there? Maybe with my gammy foot?
I'll buy the first round.
And the second. And the third.
Oh, hallelujah. Dover can walk again.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Is this the Fishton Country Club?
Might be.
It's just an empty room.
Yeah. Perhaps we're doing something wrong here. I'll ring for my management consultant.
Get your hand off that button! This is Walker Stitch, good for something.
What button, sir?
Warning button on the wall. I bet you a pound a penny there's another room off here and a back staircase. Look, there it is. Come on, McGregor.
I wonder what they've got to hide.
Now, let's just see.
Hello, Chief Inspector Dover.
That's okay, Gareth. These gentlemen and I are old friends.
So we meet again, eh?
Who is it, sir?
Not a clue.
But you didn't expect to see Joey the Jock in Deepest Wales.
Who? I have my spies everywhere, Joey. Now, how's about a drink for old times, Joey the Jock? Don't worry, this isn't the right.
Then walk this way, gents.
Can't be too careful in a town like this.
What does he mean? A town like this?
Just up here.
Dear Lord.
Now this is my kind of place. Mine's a scotch, a large one.
Thought you'd like it, Chief Inspector. Two scotches for my guests, my family.
Large ones. Not sure about those young women dressed as hens. Don't they put your members off their beer?
Well, the men certainly look like they're enjoying themselves, sir. And the costumes aren't exactly unflattering.
They're chicks, aren't they? Yeah. We want any bannies, but apparently they're copyright. Oh, evening, Councillor Hughes.
Yeah.
So, you come about Hamilton, have you?
Hamilton, who's he?
Still the same Dover, pretending to be half asleep.
It can be very convincing. So, you knew Bill Hamilton?
Back in the smoke, yeah.
Eh?
When he was Sonny Malone.
Sonny Malone?
Yeah, he used to have Barking and Dagenham all sewn up. The local boys haven't cottoned on who he was yet. But you did, eh, Chief Inspector? Here we are. Cheers. Shall we sit down?
Cheers. Yes, nothing escapes me, Joey, you know that.
So why did this Malone-Hamilton fellow leave London in the first place?
Well, it got too hot for him when the Tallahassee brothers moved in, didn't it? They'd have carved him up good and proper.
Carved him up?
Yeah, razors.
So he'd moved his operation down here then?
I wouldn't know about that, Sergeant.
Of course you would. Come on, Joey the Jock. Spill.
Maureen.
Yeah? What?
Got a young man I'd like you to be nice to in a way that only you can, while I have a quiet word with his boss.
Wait, hang on.
Go and ruffle a few pretty feathers, laddie. But keep your hands off a wishbone.
All right.
So come on then, Joey. How did you come into this?
Me? I was just an innocent bystander, Mr. Dover. I'm retired.
Poor the other one. I'm talking of another one. Miff. Miff?
I've forgotten how you could hold your drinks. Miff family. No, I just wanted something to do, so I opened this club. Well, who turns up but bleeding Sonny Malone? Says he's retired and all he wants is somewhere quiet to meet his friends. Yeah, you know what sort of friends he had. Pretty soon every villain for 200 miles was coming here. Nothing I could do. I reckon he was financing their jobs.
Uh-huh. Now, what about Constable Bowen? Did he come in?
I'll say. One for the ladies, aren't Mickey? What'd he top himself for, eh?
Haven't you picked up some nasty disease?
Looking around here, it's not unlikely.
Be careful.
Was he here the night Hamilton died?
I don't think so. Mind you, they were thick as thieves. And that young copper was pretty keen later on to get to the bottom of what happened. In fact, it was only about a week ago he came around asking all these questions.
Oh, yeah. Did Hamilton meet anyone here the night he died?
Not that I recall. Oh, but now you mention it, he did seem to be waiting for someone.
Any luck, Chief Inspector?
Maybe. You?
Sergeant! Did you like my drumsticks, then?
What the...
Oh, look at his little Scottish eyes, Bell. He's got eyes just like Chauncey, hasn't he, Joey?
Ah, you like Chauncey, didn't you, girl? Did he drop you like a brick?
It wasn't just me, Joey. All the girls. He's not been for months, and he used to be such a regular to Chauncey.
That's a funny name, isn't it, Chauncey?
Hang on, I've heard that name somewhere before. What's his second name?
Griffiths. Chauncey Griffiths.
Chauncey Griffiths, yes, at the police station. Ah. Ha-ha.
What do you mean, sir?
Ha-ha. Nothing, just ha-ha. Very interesting.
Why? And what was that about the police?
You, Chicken Maryland, you say this Chauncey stopped coming to the club. Why was that?
Having the foggiest. Oh, no, actually, I do recall one of the girls. Gwyneth, it was. She lives near him, saying she had a nervous breakdown.
Nervous breakdown?
That's right. He went missing for about a week. Gwyneth said he lost his memory or something. Ambrosia, I think they call it. Huh. But one look at you, Sergeant, and Chauncey's gone right out of my mind.
Oh, that's very kind.
You've got bedroom eyes.
Oh, that's...
Do you know that? With little pillows under them.
I'm still never sure whether Chief Inspector Dover's ahas mean that he's actually worked something out, or he just wants me to think he has. But it takes a real detective to get things moving. And let's just say it wasn't Dover who found the taxi driver that drove Bill Hamilton that fateful night.
Yes, can I help you?
Does Arthur Armstrong live here?
Oh, yes. Shall I see if he's up yet?
Ah!
Oh, yes, he's up. Lost your glasses again, Arthur?
Yes, ma'am.
There's some gentlemen want to see you. Look like coppers. Shall we sit in the front garden? We can watch the fishing boats come in.
Oh, goody.
Sit yourself down there. Oh, not there. There's his glasses. To tell you the truth, he's not much better with them on. Nearly fell into the harbour last week, silly sausage.
Then how the hell did he get a job as a taxi driver?
That was thanks to nice Mrs. Liversedge. Her husband has the local cab company, but Arthur usually only drives between midnight and eight, when there's nothing else on the road.
Whim! How did he pass his test?
Oh, Mrs. Liversedge is a magistrate. She had a little word with the examiner, bless her.
Why would this Liversedge woman do that?
Oh, that's not all she's done. Oh, there's my cousin's boat. Dear Lan, nice day for it. And here's my little lad. Mind the garden table, Arthur. These here are policemen. I was telling him about Mrs. Liversedge.
Oh, right. Whoa, sorry. Didn't notice your foot there.
Struth, stupid. I thought we were seeing the last of you.
Have we met before then? Not too good on faces.
That's okay. Mr. Armstrong, the night you drove Mr. Hamilton back from the club, did you see anything?
Oh, very much doubt it. You were saying, madam, what else Mrs. Liversedge had done for you?
Well, I'm sure Arthur won't mind my telling. He had this little problem, didn't you, Arthur?
Little problem?
I used to,
He was a peeping Tom. Not that you could see much, could you, Arthur?
It was a bit misty.
Anyway, it could have been very nasty. It was just lucky he picked on middle-aged ladies.
Middle-aged ladies?
Oh, they were bigger and they ran away slower.
Yes, all right, love.
Anyway, a lot of these ladies were members of our Ladies' League, including Mrs. Liversedge.
She was a big lady.
In every way, love. She came round here and told us the police just didn't want to get involved. But it couldn't go on, could it? Not in a respectable place like Fishton.
So what did she suggest?
Oh, she was very kind. Told us the Ladies' League was there to help people. And they thought they could get him cured if I let him go away for a bit. They needed my consent because he's not 21 yet. Well, to cut a long story short, I said yes, and his lordship went off just for the week. And since then, we've had no trouble, have we, Arthur?
No, ma'am.
Well, they do say psychiatry can work wonders.
Oh, they do indeed. It made him a bit woozy, of course. But they use so many drugs nowadays, don't they? And his memory isn't quite what it was. Anyway, do you have any more questions? Because he gets awfully tired with his night job.
No, I don't think so. You've been very...
That night, Arthur, with Mr. Hamilton, how did you know where to stop the car? With your eyesight, I mean. You didn't this morning when you drove us there.
Mr. Hamilton told me the number. Huh? When I saw it, I stopped. Is that what you mean, sir?
It'll do.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Yes, of course it is. Come on, McGregor. Coming here has given me quite a clever idea.
That's your third piece of cod, Dover. I'm surprised there's any fish left in the sea.
You just can't beat the coast of fish and chips, can you, Chief Constable?
I know I asked for a daily update, but I don't see why it always has to be at mealtimes. Do you have a theory yet?
What? I have, sir.
Oh?
Loads of them. I'm convinced Hamilton, a.k.a. Sonny Malone, is the key to all this. I reckon he was marked to be bumped off by his underworld associates, but he dropped dead on them first.
Sonny made mincemeat of him just for fun. Laddie. Now, there's a thought. I could have a nice bit of mince for my supper.
But gangs are always carving people up, sir. Oh, hey, maybe Bowen wasn't in cahoots with Hamilton. Maybe he was actually being a detective. And one of the gang who did it found out and put the wind up him. Threatened his life. That's why Bowen spent the week in bed. He was hiding.
Well, at least somebody has been doing some thinking. So, Dover, what do you have to say for yourself?
Excellent tea. Can't beat a cuppa with a good piece of cod.
Is that it? Dover!
Have you noticed how everyone in Fishton seems to do things for a week?
Sorry, sir?
Bowen takes to his bed for a week. Chauncey, what's his name, disappears for a week. Young Four Eyes Armstrong goes off for a week's treatment.
No, not with you.
I was just thinking aloud. Thinking. I'll tell you what, laddie. Why don't you try to find out who Hamilton was waiting for in the country club that night?
Oh, can I? Oh, thank you, sir. That could be the key, couldn't it? Lucky I got the information out of Joy the Jock yesterday.
Lucky indeed. Off you go now.
Keen chap.
Soon knock that out of him.
Now, I've got a meeting with the mayor, too. You've got 5 minutes to complete your report, over.
No, I don't think five would do it justice, sir. What say we hold fire until dinner time at my hotel?
Oh, all right. But the food's pretty terrible there.
Don't worry. I've a feeling you won't be eating very much.
What?
I had a sneaky feeling the chief inspector was having one of his rare bouts of detection. But if that car hadn't drawn up beside him on the promenade, I don't think his awful plan would ever have occurred to him.
Chief Inspector?
Yeah?
It's Sergeant Rhys Smith, remember, from the station.
What do you want?
Well, actually, it's my dear wife. She was wondering if you'd like to come and have tea with us. Yeah. It's not often we get a famous Scotland Yard detective in our neck of the woods.
Why on earth would I want to have tea with you two?
That's a poser. Well, Mrs. Rhys Smith is a very good pastry cook. Mm. She does all the baking for the Ladies' League meetings.
Oh, does she indeed? I'm partial to Madeira cake.
Fine. But it might taste a bit like lava bread.
Remorse.
Aye?
Constable Bowen. That's why he killed himself. Remorse. For a dissolute, sordid life. There. I hope that solved it for you.
We thought there might be a tie-up with this Hamilton business.
Oh, no, no. I don't think so. Randy Bill Hamilton? You're barking up quite the wrong tree there.
Probably right. But it's a puzzle, you know. I hate puzzles. You see, Hamilton was all right when he left the country club. In fact, he reached his own door safe and sound. So something must have happened to him when he got there.
You're not accusing his poor wife? She's a little mite of a thing.
She packs a hefty hammer. You know, Mrs. Rees-Smith, I've got a theory about Hamilton. Actually, no. I mustn't take credit. Not my style. My sergeant has got a theory.
And here's where I reckon he started to put his evil plan into play. You could almost hear the little cogs whirring.
Oh, care to share, Chief Inspector?
Well, he thinks he can explain how that myopic young taxi driver found the house so easily.
All right. How did he?
He didn't.
He didn't? Of course. Sorry?
He just thought he did. Nope. Sergeant McGregor reckons somebody in one of the other houses stuck the number of Hamilton's house nice and big right on top of their own.
I didn't think anything of the sort. It was him.
And how did they do that?
Bit of cardboard and felt tip pen. The houses all look the same.
Swear to me, that's clever. Do you mean somebody lured him into their own house, cut him up, and then put his body over his own wall?
What rubbish! What about Jenny Jenkins?
What about Jenny Jenkins?
She said she saw two men in a van.
How do you know that?
She sings for us in the Ladies League. Mm. She's as honest as the day is long. And talented, but honest.
You're probably right, Mrs. Rees-Smith. Still, my sergeant is going to go back to the country club. He thinks there's a lot more to learn there.
About what, I wonder? Drink? Chickens? Disgusting place. Council ought to have closed it down.
And here comes the slanderous bit. The bit I could sue him for. Or kill him.
The sooner they close it down, the better, so far as Sergeant McGregor is concerned.
Oh, why's that, Chief Inspector?
Well, I'm probably telling tales. But no, it's between friends. That young devil is like a rat up a drainpipe. He's got maintenance orders against him from one end of the country to the other.
No.
What? Me? Why on earth was he spreading awful rumours like that?
How revolting.
No, he'll be at that country club every night, you mark my words, counting his chickens and picking off the fluff. Trouble is, he's a ruddy good detective.
Has he any more bright ideas about this Bowen case, then?
Not that I know of.
Wait for it.
Oh, yes. Hang on. He has noticed how you've had quite an epidemic here in Fishton of people dropping out of circulation for a week and then coming back different.
You see, that wasn't me, that was him. I didn't notice that.
What do you mean?
Chauncey Griffiths, Arthur Armstrong, Constable Bowen himself.
I don't see that there's anything. Hey,
you might be onto something there, sir. There was that van driver, Pilkington, you know, Alwyn, the one with 10 kids. Now, he disappeared for a few days, didn't he?
Of course he didn't. Don't be ridiculous, Sidney.
Just what I said to my sergeant. All nonsense. Well, trouble is, he's like a terrier. Once he gets an idea, he just won't let it go.
Oh, well, that bit's true, but I don't think he was saying it to flatter me.
Is that right? Well, you must excuse me. Cakes to bake. I'll take these cups away. Sidney, see the Chief Inspector out, won't you?
Oh, yes, dear. Come on, Chief Inspector Dover.
One thing, Sergeant.
Oh, anything for Scotland Yard.
Young Bowen, just before he rode off on his bicycle that last day, what had he been doing in the nick?
Oh, I don't know. Just catching up, I suppose, with what had been happening while he was on leave.
I want a copy of everything he looked at that morning by 10 o'clock tonight.
That'll take me all through my supper.
Should have stocked up on Madeira cake while you had the chance.
OK, you've had your pudding, and mine. So what was it you wanted to tell me? And it had better be good.
How do you feel about male neutering?
I'm sorry?
Male neutering, it means...
I know what it means, I just don't know why you were saying it.
You should. It's all the rage in Fishton, apparently. Bill Hamilton, mutilated down below. Chauncey Griffiths stops going to the country club and develops a bust. Arthur Armstrong loses all interest in women. They all went away and came home, shall we say, as lesser men. And Lord knows who else.
Oh, you're stark staring mad. Dear Lord, man, this is the Welsh coast, not, I don't know, the home counties. We don't do that here.
Somebody does.
All right, who?
I'm not saying, not yet. But if your nephew's body ever turns up, a pound's a penny, there'll be no fish balls for supper.
Oh, what possible evidence? I'll have you know you're slandering the proud men of Fishton and my poor nephew. Right, I'm calling the yard. Your days are numbered, Chief Inspector. I personally see you hounded right out of the force.
Chief Inspector, I thought I might find you here. Hello, sir. Sergeant Reece Smith just popped in with these. He said you asked for...
Give me those. Now, I've got some jobs for you, Nanny.
Yes, sir.
Go to the country club last night.
Yes, sir.
Well, I want you to go back there tonight.
Tonight? But I've arranged to meet an old associate of Hamilton.
Just do as I say.
But that Maureen woman keeps bothering me. And her feathers get right up my...
You don't have to if you don't want to, sir.
Yes, she ruddy does. This is my case and I'm handling it. In the morning, laddie, I want you to call on the animal doctor. What's her name? Miss Fisk. At 10:30 on the dot. Ask her about the night Hamilton kicked the bucket. And you're to stay there exactly half an hour, savvy?
But no, why?
My little secret, just do it.
Oh, well. All right. Bye.
Bye. Hello. This is interesting, isn't it?
What is it?
One of the last things Bowen read after his week away.
Oh, yes?
Your nephew is a bit of a lad, wasn't he? A ladies' man.
Well, what if he was? There's nothing else to do in this town. And what's that?
When Constable Bowen got back to work that Monday morning after his week away, he found a note waiting for him, this note, telling him to turn up for his annual medical.
So?
If he'd been tampered with, he knew it'd get out somehow. It'd be the laughing stock of the town, poor chap, so he did something to make sure his body would never be found.
He threw himself off Cully Point. Okay, now, just supposing, why would anyone do that to him?
He was getting too close to the truth. Asking questions to Jenny Jenkins and others about Hamilton. He must have suspected something.
If you know who's doing this, I demand you tell me.
Well, better than that, I'll prove it. The idea just came to me this afternoon over a nice cup of tea and cake. I've spread the rumour around town that Sergeant McGregor is a randy little devil and is onto what's going on. And you mark my words, they won't let him get away unscathed.
Who the hell are they? What's your sergeant's randiness got to do with it?
Just give me 24 hours and you'll have your answers. Now, I need you to tell your sergeant, Reece Smith, that I'm leaving tomorrow for London on the 6:35 train.
What? You're leaving?
No, but I want you to tell that to your sergeant.
My sergeant, isn't he?
Dear Lord, no. But I need you to have all your men standing by tomorrow night.
All of them?
All. I'll meet you outside the police station at 7:00. Don't be late. My sergeant's life could depend on it.
If I had had any idea what Dover was up to, I would never have gone along with it. And of course, I only heard later about the phone call.
Janet Fisk?
Miss Fisk, it's Chief Inspector Dover.
Oh, not another one.
What do you mean?
I've only just said goodbye to your sergeant.
What? You let him into your home on his own?
What on earth are you talking about?
Sergeant McGregor has been expressly forbidden to interview a member of the opposite sex unless he is chaperoned by a senior police officer.
Good grief. You're acting like the man's a sexual maniac.
I'm very afraid he is, madam. And he's thinking of settling in Fishton. Says he wants to take over where Constable Bowen left off.
Oh, dear.
You're a very lucky woman. Let's hope those poor young ladies he visits every night at the country club are just as lucky.
And apparently, he repeated this story all over the town. Me, the Scottish stud. Of course, I knew nothing of this. So when he told me I was just to stay in my hotel the next night and wait for someone to contact me about the Hamilton case, I was really quite intrigued. Meanwhile, Chief Inspector Dover was happily getting on with his plans.
No, I'm not coming home, woman.
Wilfred, you just said you were about to get on the train to London.
That's a ruse. So people around hear me. I am going to get on it, but it's one of those that stops everywhere. So I'm going to get off at a village just down the road where I've got a cab waiting to rush me straight back to my hotel, and the local force is standing by.
Whatever for?
Because Sergeant McGregor's life might be in danger.
Oh, who's put him in danger then?
I have.
Excuse me, guard. What time do we stop at Abbotsbrook?
Abbotsbrook? We passed it way back.
What? But they told me at the ticket office...
Ah, they're always doing that. It's the 5:35 that halts at Abbotsbrook.
Stop the train!
Sorry, more than my job's worth.
Well, stop the train! I'll wring your scraggy neck!
All right. The police will get you.
I am the bloody police.
Then Lord help us all. Ah! And good riddance!
I'm too old for this. Me with my bad foot. I can always get another sergeant. Oh, come on. Aren't there any ruddy cars in Wales?
Out the way! Turning left! Out to the way!
Police officer, I'm commandeering that bike. I've got to get to a phone box.
What the hell?
You asked for it?
Hey!
Get out of my way!
Give me back my bike! Who do you got?
Fish and Grand Hotel, may I help you? You're one of those heavy breathers, because if you are...
This is Chief Inspector Dover. Put me through to my sergeant now.
Oh, all right, then. Oh, no, I can't.
Why the hell not?
Language. He left ages ago.
Oh, no, on his own?
No, with an older lady.
Oh, my God! My money's running out. Listen, you have to phone the police station. Ask for the Chief Constable.
The Chief Constable, OK.
Tell them I've got to raid Janet Fisk's surgery, or my sergeant will be singing in the Vienna Boys Choir, and say I'm on my way.
Thank you for calling the Fishton Grand Hotel.
Chief Constable!
Well, now, look who the cut dragged in. It's 9:30, Dover.
Am I too late?
Too late for what? I've sent all my men home, aside from my driver. Why, I'm still waiting here for you, Lord only knows.
But what about Miss Frith's surgery? Why are all the lights off? Did you raid it?
Yes, and there's nobody in there. Just some blood and mess.
Oh, you're talking about my best sergeant. So where's Miss Fisk now?
I've no idea. But she could be the same place my wife's at. The Civic Hall, an emergency meeting of the Ladies' League.
What? Well, why didn't you bloody say so? The fiends!
Hey,
driver, the Civic Hall, now! And call the entire force to meet us there!
What do you...
Let's just pray we're not too late.
You are completely insane.
I don't think so. Faster, driver.
The Ladies' League!
Exactly. That attack on Hamilton wasn't criminals from his past. It was the Fishton Ladies' League who did it.
Codswallop.
You'll see. They lured him into Miss Fisk's next door by changing the house numbers. He was too sozzled, and short-sighted Arthur just believed what he saw.
Well, why Janet Fisk? She's a vet, for pity's sake.
Got it in one, and she's got an operating theatre.
You're actually saying they...
I am. But they didn't know Hamilton had a blood clot. So, when he died on them, they had to disguise their handiwork and pop him back over the wall into his own garden.
You expect me to believe members of the Ladies' League were neutering men in this town? But why?
Look at their victims, man. Chauncey Griffiths playing away from home with the country club chickens. Arthur Armstrong, a four-eyed peeping Tom.
Bill Hamilton?
A cockney crook who goes for anything in a skirt. And heaven knows how many more eunuchs have been on their week's holiday. Your good ladies of the town have appointed themselves the moral guardians of Fishton and armed themselves with bayonets to do it.
Oh, dear Lord.
And they sent one of their number to the hotel this evening to lure my poor sergeant into their clutches.
got all the men here, sir. Just waiting the word.
Good man, Sergeant. I still can't believe that my own
wife...
They're
like the different sex, Chief Constable. I'll tell you, these harpies have turned an unspeakable procedure into some sort of bestial ceremony. Witches, the lot of them.
Okay, men. Break down the door. Sergeant B. Smith.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Turn the projector off, Janet.
Oh, dear.
What the hell is going on?
I'm sure you have an explanation for this, Cyril.
Where have you, Lydia? What was that film you were showing?
Disgusting, wasn't it? The sort you men watch all the time.
So did.
We're reviewing them, and then we're going to write to Parliament and complain about the degradation of womanhood.
Complain about the degradation?
Sergeant, leave that film alone.
Oh, sorry.
What about Sergeant McGregor?
Who?
You know very well who, you sadist. Sergeant McGregor! Sergeant McGregor! Oh, my God, we're too late. He's probably in a back room somewhere, licking his wounds, so to speak. Sergeant McGregor! Sergeant McGregor! If you can hear me, say yes.
Yes, sir.
Ah, how are you?
Are you all right, Sergeant?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you. Good. I saw the car, so I thought I'd come and find out what was going on.
Oh.
What a lot of women. They look very angry about something.
Where have you been, for pity's sake?
Oh, a nice lady rang me earlier, said she had a lead on the Hamilton business. We met at a cafe. She was older than I expected. You said somebody would get in touch, didn't you, Chief Inspector? Well done, you.
A nice lady. Dear Lord.
Well, I'm glad there's one man from the Yard who still knows how to do decent police work. Because you are on report, Dover. I am going to make sure you never work anywhere again. I'll see you're stripped of your rank and your pension and your meal allowance. And if I could cut your bits off, I would do it with pleasure.
I'll tell you... These women were going to geld my sergeant. I'd stake my reputation on it.
We were going to do what? Are you on drugs, Chief Inspector?
I'm sorry, sir. Did you say...
You'd better catch the next train back to London, Dover, while I apologise to my good wife and all these fine ladies.
Sometimes apologies just aren't enough, Cyril.
It's a set-up, can't you see? They knew I was onto them. They're so clever. They worked out I was using my sergeant as bait and sent their nice lady to his hotel. It's a ruddy set-up.
So, yet again, Chief Inspector Dover got totally the wrong end of the stick and accused some poor, innocent ladies. Well, I'm convinced, less than a fortnight after we've come back to the Yard, that I'm very near to cracking the great unsolved Hamilton case and its obvious gangland connections. No thanks to that fat, useless lump of...
What are you looking so smug about?
Nothing, sir. Oh, by the way, I just rang the Chief Constable at Fishton. Thought it was time to apologise.
You did what? You fool. He's supposed to be putting me on report. I'm waiting for the axe to fall on my illustrious career. And you're calling to remind him? What did the vindictive swine say?
He wasn't around, but I spoke to Sergeant Rhys Smith. Actually, he said something very odd.
How odd?
Well, he said the Chief Constable had gone missing for a week.
For a week?
Some sort of amnesia, apparently. Probably brought on by the strain of what happened. Poor guy.
Oh, yeah? How is my old friend, the Chief Constable, now?
Well, the Sergeant says he seemed like a different man. Maybe you should have a wee rest for a while, Chief Inspector.
No, I don't think I will, laddie. In fact, I feel quite chipper suddenly. Oh, yes. I'll be in my office. Go and get me a nice corned beef sandwich and a couple of really masculine, man-sized scotch eggs.
Huh? Yes, sir.
And that's why I really, really want a transfer this time. Even when Chief Inspector Dover has got a grisly case, totally and utterly wrong, he acts... Well... He acts just like he solved it.
In Dover and the Unkindest Cut of All, Chief Inspector Dover was played by Kenneth Cranham, Sergeant McGregor, Stuart Macquarie, the Chief Constable, Philip Maddock, Mrs. Dover, Carolyn Pickles, Sergeant Reese Smith, Gareth Armstrong, Joey the Jock, Ben Crow, Miss Fisk, Jennifer Hill, and Sandra Pugh by Shuan Morris. All other parts were played by members of the cast. Dover and the Unkindest Cut of All by Joyce Porter was dramatised for radio by Paul Mendelssohn and directed by David Ian Neville.
And there's another case for Inspector Dover next Saturday at the same time. We've foot-tapping jazz tracks in the company of Ken Clark after this word from Jane Garvey.
On Weekend Woman's Hour this afternoon at 4 o'clock, telling it like it is, Jennifer Danz, a former lap dancer.
What women who are thinking about entering this industry have to remember is that you are stripping naked. This isn't like earning a bit of extra cash doing leaflets or waiting tables in a cafe. This is a very, very sexual job.
Also on the programme, the shoemaker Christian Louboutin and the chef Giorgio Locatelli. Weekend Woman's Hour, 4 o'clock this afternoon.
With Jane Garvey. And now on Radio 4, it's Jazz Greats with Ken Clark. This week, the film composer John Altman joins Ken in the studio to discuss the music of Zoot Sims.
Hello, I'm Ken Clark, and welcome to Jazz Greats. This week we're talking about Zoot Sims, an American saxophonist most celebrated for his incredible sense of what jazzmen call swing. But if you're not much of a jazz fan, you may know him better as the only jazz musician to have had a character based on him in the kids' TV show The Muppets, right down to the name. It even looked like him too, although Zoot was white, not blue. Born in 1925, Zoot grew up in California as the youngest child in a family of vaudeville performers. He became interested in jazz after listening to his older brother's record collection, which included recordings of early saxophone stars Ben Webster and Lester Young. It wasn't long before Zoot took up the instrument himself, and with only a few short years, he was playing professionally at a...